Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is Luke chapter 16, verse 1 to 3, and we have another one. It's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. Today's title is What Kind of Steward Am I? What kind of steward am I? I'd like to read Luke chapter 16, verse 1 to 3. Now he was also saying to the disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and this steward was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him to say to him, What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. And the steward said to himself, What shall I do? Since my master is taking the stewardship away from me, I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. Okay, I'd like to read another verse. The 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterance of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. A certain rich man had a steward. He lost his position as steward because he was wasting his master's possessions. His master said to him, Account for what you have seen. Which others, the Bible translation, the render as organized, the liquidate, or giving an accounting. The idea is to account for everything you've been stored of and report back to your masters. The Bible doesn't say how he specifically squandered his master's properties, but the mission of a typical steward in Jesus' day was to take care of his master's properties, servants, and other things that the master should have done on his behalf at the master's command. The greatest virtues of such a steward are honesty and loyalty. I'd like to read the Luke chapter 16, verse 10 to 11. Jesus said, He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in a very little things is unrighteous also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true riches to you? The meaning is, he who is faithful in the least will be faithful in the greatest, and he who is dishonest in the least will be dishonest in the greatest. For if you are not faithful even in the handling of worldly goods, who will entrust you with the true goods? You understand what I say? In short, the steward in today's passage was apparently not loyal. The servants in the parable of the talent, which we are familiar with, are also stewards. Did not the master entrust them with his possession? You can find out at the Matthew chapter 25. Those who received the 5 and the 2 talent knew their master's will, were loyal, and did business with the talent he gave them, greatly benefiting their masters. But those who received the one talent not only did not know their master's will, but he regards him as a stingy and hard heart, and they were discounted that he had given them one talent, and he became idle and did not work. When the master returned, what was the reward they received from him? Those who received 5 talents and 2 talents that remained profitable were recognized by the master as good and loyal servant, and were entitled to partake of the master's pleasures. Partaking of the master's pleasure was, according to the custom of the time, an extraordinary blessing. They were no longer servants, but free men, and were even included in the master's family as heir to the master's inheritance. But the recipient of the one talent who did not fulfill his duty as a steward proved to be weak and lazy servant, and was eventually stripped of his stewardship and cast into darkness. Thus, masters would come at an unexpected time to see if their property was being properly and loyally managed, and to test the loyalty of their stewards. Loyal stewards knew the minds of their masters, and so the recipients of the 5 and 2 talents went straight away and did business. The idea is to account for everything you've been steward of and report back to your masters. Let's look at the Luke chapter 12, verse 46 to 47. Jesus said, "The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And the slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will shall receive many lashes." Therefore, a steward must always be ready, because at any moment his master may come to reckon with him. We too are steward. In the Bible, every minister or officer and some the appointed one who is trusted by Jesus Christ to do God's work in the church is called a steward of God. The scripture said, I'd like to read the first one, the Titus chapter 1 verse 7. "For the overseers must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain." I like another the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each of one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good steward of the manifold grace of God. You see? And the final one, the 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. "Let a man regard us in this manner as servant of Christ and steward of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of a steward that one be found trustworthy. Dear saint, we must never forget, not even for a moment, that we are all stewards of God. As those entrusted with God's stewardship, there are 3 things we must keep in mind. The first one, that I have received everything from the Lord. Although I am in control of everything I have received, God is technically the owner. As our creator, God made us in his image and likeness. You can find that at the Genesis chapter 1 verse 27. And he commanded us to have dominion over all that he had made. You can find the Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. In particular, he entrusted the Garden of Eden to us and raised up Adam as a divinely appointed steward to keep it and rule over it. You can find at the Genesis chapter 2 verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it. But the first man, the Adam, who was entrusted with the secret of God, was not faithful and did not fulfill the task that God had given him. He regarded God as a hard man. He was entrusted with the secret of the tree of life, which is God's secret. But he did not do the work of a steward, but focused on eating the fruit of the tree of life, which belongs to God. The fruit of the tree of life is not for you to take, but for the owners to give it to you to eat. Let's find out the Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. I like to read, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Amen. In the end, mistaking what belongs to God for their own, they took what belongs to God. By disobeying God's word, they become totally corrupt in spirit and in body, becoming servant of Satan, instrumental of unrighteousness, rebels against God, and ultimately servant of sin and death. He showed us what it looks like to be destroyed when we fail to be faithful as God's steward. Now that we have been redeemed through Jesus Christ and recreated as an instrument of righteousness, we must use the bodies, minds, and souls that God has given us for him who gave them to us. Amen. Let's look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. God said, "For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." Glorify God in your body. And give your heart to God first. Let's look at the Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. "Give me your heart." That means, "But my son, take my words to heart. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my way." To give our heart to God is to seek and love him with all our heart, mind, and strength. It is to confess that God is my Lord and to make a holy commitment to live for him. What kind of person will God accept? It is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with grace, and filled with the Word. Amen. This is what he is still looking for. Jesus said in the John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24, I'd like to read, "But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshippers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Amen. I give you another one. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God." Amen. I give you another one. Psalm chapter 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his loyal, holy name. Amen. And second one, to use what God has sown according to God's will and solely for God's glory. Okay, to use what has given according to God's will and solely for God's glory. We should always let the Holy Spirit control our tongue. The first one, we have to be controlled our tongue. The Bible says that our life and death depends on the power of the tongue. You can see the Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Therefore, it is difficult and important to control the tongue. Right? The only way to tame the tongue is to gag it by placing a watchman of the word in our mouth with the Holy Spirit. Then we should only speak words that are glorified before God and the words of blessing. The Bible says that we should never let the filthy language out of our mouths, but only use it to build up the virtues of others so that good words may bring grace to those who hear them. You can find that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. I give you another one. The First Peter chapter 3 verse 10 is really strongly talk to us. For let him who means to love life and see God a good day refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Second one. Our ears must be used to hear the voice of God, the Holy Spirit. We must not be captivated by the words of the serpent, the words of the world, and become doubter and destroyer. They should be used to listen to God's word, the law that is pleasing. Amen. And third, our eyes must be bright. Our eyes are the lamps of our body. You can find out at the Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. We must be able to see God's will. We must be able to see through Satan's schemes. If our eyes are bad, we must apply divine eye drops, the word, to heal them. You can find at the Revelation chapter 2, verse 3. And fourth, our feet must be fit with the shoes of the gospel. They should not be busy seeking their own way of survival, but rather be diligent feet that joyfully and beautifully share the word of God, whether the time is favorable or not. The last one, our hands should be clean. Holy hands to that pray. Such hands can ascend the holy mountain of God. You can find it at the Psalm chapter 23, verse 4 to 5. God blesses clean hands, hand without sin. Amen. And the third one, we must always keep in mind that the Lord, who is our master, will surely come and settle account for what we have received. Look at the foolish rich man. He knew how to count the abundance of his field, but he did not know how to count his body and souls. He worked hard and increased his possession for his own comfort and old ages. What was the result? Let's look at the Luke chapter 12, verse 20 to 21. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lay up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. However, it doesn't end with God taking away his life. Rather, depending on the outcome of the accounting, his eternal fate will be determined. Let's look at the Psalm chapter 2, verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? And as a result, he is bound to reap what is rotten. Let's look at the Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruptions. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Amen. The word for corruption, here is Greek, is puhodora, which means destructions, desolation, and degradations. Why did he suffer this consequence? In a word, because he did not lay up for himself treasure in heavens. The Jesus said in the Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heavens, where neither moth nor lust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For he lived in pride of life on earth, setting his hope on untrustworthy riches and not on God. So is the scripture warning to us. Let's look at the 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Today, the unrighteous steward knew that his master would come one day, but he became so occupied with playing master with his master's properties and with increasing his own wealth with his master's properties that he forgot why his master had entrusted him with all his possession and became a neglectful servant of his master's missions. I like to read either Luke chapter 12, verse 45 to 46. But if that the slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time is in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both man and woman, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that the slaves will come on earth day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The master does not come when he thinks he will, neither will our Lord. Let's look at the Luke chapter 12, verse 40. Luke chapter 12, verse 40, Jesus said, you too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. I give you another one, Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stay awake and keep his garment, lest he walk about the neck and the man see his shame. Today, as God's steward, we must count the days as we see them. We should always live in the mind that this is the last opportunity God has given us, and we will judge it. Have we been a good and loyal servant who will continue the stewardship we have seen? Or have we been a weak and lazy servant who will not continue the stewardship we have seen. We must make a reckoning today, counting how well we have used the body and soul we have received from the Lord, the possession, talent, and time, and we have been given, and how much we have spent for the Lord. Scripture is a warning to us. The 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, the end of all seeing is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and the sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. You can do this even at this moment. Amen. Let's find our text. We read and together, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, 7 to 11, and finish reading it together. Okay? Please find out the 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. Okay, let's read it together. Let's start. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterance of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.